If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a good Wednesday morning. I wanted to read to you from Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah says this, Oh, that my head were waters and my tongue a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the desert a wayfarer's lodging place, that I might leave my people and go from them, for all of them are adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men, and they bend their tongue like their bow. Lies and not truth prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. I like that passage, lies and not truth prevail in the land. I think we could say that about our day today. Lies and not truth prevail in our land. One of the reasons I wrote the book, The Devil's Newsroom, Muting Satan's Fake News and Tuning Into God's Truth, is because so many people are believing the lies of the enemy. What we try and do on Real Truth for Today is to tell you the truth and to look at what's going on in our world, look at culture through the lens of Scripture, and never reverse that. Never look at Scripture through the lens of culture. That's what people are doing today, and it makes for a mess. Romans chapter 3, verse 4, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. And God's word is truth forever, O Lord. Your word is settled in heaven, and heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but my words will not pass away. Jesus said at the end of his great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, builds upon them, acts upon them, he's like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and blows them off, doesn't act upon them, well, he's like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And both those houses, the house on the rock and the house on the sand, they have the same difficulties. The rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and burst against both those houses. One stood, one fell, one was founded on the rock, hearing the word and doing it, and one was founded on the sand, hearing the word and not doing it. To the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Well, today we have a special treat. My friend Rod Martin, tech entrepreneur, futurist, thought leader, and founder and CEO of the Martin Organization and Martin Capital. Rod Martin has been a friend of mine for several years now. He served as senior advisor to Peter Thiel of PayPal, and he's been called one of America's leading public intellectuals, former policy advisor to Governor Mike Huckabee. Rod, welcome to the program.
Great to be here.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Sorry we had a little trouble there. Lots going on, Rod, in our world today. I appreciate the fact that you always have such insightful things to say about what's going on in culture, what's going on in government. So let me jump right in. I have several things I want to talk to you about, but Trump's visit to the Middle East began yesterday. Trump gets more done in a day than people get done in years, than Biden got done in 4 years. So how do you see this this trip to the Middle East, and why is he not visiting Israel?
Well, Israel is, of course, one of our foremost strategic partners, and honestly, he's got so much on his plate this trip, it doesn't make a lot of sense to spend time there. The overblown hype about, he's not getting along with Netanyahu, I think is just wishful thinking on the part of Israel's enemies. The Trump administration has been an outstanding friend to Israel, and no one would say that more than the Israelis. So he's got a lot on his plate on this trip. We'll get to Israel when it makes sense to get to Israel. And what he got done yesterday alone is remarkable. $600 billion of new investment into the United States, the biggest defense purchase in history. And I expect that KSA deal is likely to reach $1 trillion before it's done.
Okay, so the defense purchase, tell us about that.
Well, we're selling a range of advanced armaments to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. This is in line with stuff we've been doing since the 80s. I mean, you'll remember all the way back in the early 80s, Reagan sold AWACS planes to Saudi Arabia, and that was highly controversial at the time. Well, what it led to was the Saudis agreeing to quit hiking oil prices on us, as they had twice in the 1970s, and instead collapsing oil prices starting in 1985 for the purpose of depriving the Soviet Union of hard currency. Russia then and now makes most of its money from selling energy. And by collapsing the price of oil, it made it impossible for Gorbachev to continue the Cold War, and that contributed massively to the collapse of the USSR and the Soviet bloc. That's exactly what Trump's seeking to do today. We are depriving China of hard currency. We are reducing the price of oil in ways that promote friendly producers. Saudi Arabia isn't hurt by this. Certainly, they'll miss a little bit of the profitability, but it is beneficial to treat them as an ally and a friend, even when they aren't always a perfect friend, because we're staring across the Persian Gulf at Iran, which is extremely hostile. And though we have certainly scaled it back dramatically in the past year, they are nowhere near finished.
Rod, what are the Saudis, what's their opinion of what's going on in Gaza? There are those that say, hey, you're buddying up to these guys that are pro Hamas, and you know they're all, because they're Arabs and Muslims are all kind of in the lump them in the same basket. I haven't looked to see what they've said publicly about the war between Israel and Hamas, but I mean they don't like Jews either.
Well, opinion is mixed on a generational scale. The older generation is extremely emotionally and verbally committed to the Palestinian cause, however you choose to define it. They certainly prefer Fatah, Arafat's successors, to Hamas, but Hamas is a real player in all of that, and they kind of get lumped together because the people are the same regardless. So the younger generation, represented by MBS, couldn't care less. They see the Palestinians as a nuisance. There's a reason that no Arab country wants to take Palestinian refugees. Every time you take Palestinian refugees, they try to overthrow your government or create a civil war. It's just horrifying what has happened in places like Jordan and Lebanon, and not just them. So the Egyptians have been very, very skeptical about taking any Palestinians from Gaza. And the younger generation in Saudi Arabia wants to modernize. They want to not become America by any means, but certainly become a much freer place than they are. And we're seeing the progress there over the last 10 years. So, you know, MBS's instinct was to just kind of say the right things and look away. The older generation hasn't really let him do that. And of course, he is the crown prince and not the king. So Saudi Arabia will definitely have a role to play in this. And honestly, that's one of the reasons that Trump made the put out the idea that we would take over Gaza and we would turn it into a real estate development. He wants the Saudis and the Egyptians to step up with real money and real plans to solve the long-term problem in Gaza, which is that the infrastructure is destroyed and it's really not inhabitable. And these people have to be taken care of in some way that doesn't allow Hamas to re-arise.
What do you make, Rod, of the $400 million plane that Qatar gave to President Trump? What do you think motivated them to do that?
Well, I think the biggest story there is Boeing's complete failure. The idea that they're going to be 10 years delivering an Air Force One is just absurd. What has happened to them? These are people who armed the world during World War II, and now they can't build one plane in 10 years. It's just horrifying. It's good of the government in Qatar to give us this plane. That's appreciated. I think it creates some political issues here at home. But the idea that Trump is somehow benefiting by this personally is just silly. That's a gift to the United States Air Force. It will belong to the United States government. And it's a plane that they want to get rid of anyway. It's newer and better than our 40-year-old Air Force Ones. And it's a good idea on its face, but probably not politically saleable.
Yeah, the liberals go nuts on stuff like that. Let's talk about, Rod, with the trade talks with China, because, you watch legacy media. I mean, Trump can't do anything right. I mean, they're going to report negative about if he cures cancer tomorrow. There's something bad about it. So his talks with China, trade talks with China. Tell us the truth on that. A good thing for America, or is he just trying to save face?
Well, one of my very good friends is on the board of National Review, and he is on Facebook this morning going on about how Trump has caved and all this. Wall Street Journal took the same position. That's just hooey. I mean, this deal, first of all, puts all the enforcement in the hands of Trump. It is the first time China has really concretely agreed to stop stealing intellectual property. How enforceable is that? Well, that's kind of up to Donald Trump, which is pretty good evidence that it's a win. They end up putting 10% tariffs on U.S. imports and buying a ton more stuff. They've committed to hundreds of billions of dollars of new purchases of U.S. goods and energy and all kinds of things. While we're not putting 10% tariffs on them, we're putting 30% tariffs on them. So yeah, that's a lot lower than 145%. I guess that's Trump caving. But no, we're charging them three times what they're charging us, and they just agreed to it. That's a win. And the reason that it's 30 and not 10 is because of fentanyl. The Chinese government has been waging a stealth opium war against the United States for years now. We've had hundreds of thousands die in this country. There's absolutely no justification for it. It has to stop. And it will. And the 20% tariff will go away and will be at parity with 10 and 10, reciprocal, just like he said up front, when they actually stem the flow of the fentanyl.
So why do you think China came to the table?
China has no choice but to come to the table. And again, my friend at National Review and our friends at the Wall Street Journal are just oblivious to this in a policy wonkish kind of way that the businessman Donald Trump is not susceptible to. We have the largest consumer market on planet Earth. It's irreplaceable. We're 26% of the global economy. Nobody else can absorb what we buy from them. If China, an export economy, can't sell to our market, they're going into a depression. And that was already beginning. They already have enough internal economic problems they can't possibly deal with this one too. Trump knew it. Trump went for the jugular. Trump won. And we've got a 90-day clock now on getting to a more permanent deal. We'll see what happens. But if they really don't want to deal properly, Trump's going to axe them.
Yeah, I like the way Trump deals. He doesn't play. Well, we're talking to Rod Martin. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We are up against a break, but we'll be back in 3 minutes. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, talking to my friend Rod Martin, tech entrepreneur, futurist, thought leader, and founder and CEO of the Martin Organization and Martin Capital, and also the author of the Rod Martin Report, which is a great email that he sends out and shares his thoughts on what's going on in our world. Rod is very insightful. He has a law degree from Baylor University and undergrad from University of Arkansas. So, Rod, who do you root for, Arkansas or Baylor?
Well, generally the Razorbacks, but I've been in Florida for a very long time, so we support our Florida teams too.
Well, there you go. All right, Rod, let's talk a little bit about Congress. Republicans, those that are supporting Donald Trump and you know, say, hey, this is what I voted for. I voted for strong borders. I voted for DOGE to cut waste. But we're not seeing Congress do much from I think most perspectives would say, yeah, Trump's doing tons of stuff. And why is Mike Johnson not pushing through a lot of these things? Why are not things happening in the House and in the Senate? What say you to that?
Well, good news and bad news. You know, the good news is that the Senate is doing a great job of moving Trump's nominees through. The confirmation process can be pretty tricky, and we saw that in the first term when the Democrats invoked the 30-hour rule on every single Trump nominee. What that means is, they have the right to demand 30 hours of floor debate on each one. And you do the math on that, they aren't on the floor 30 hours straight. And if they are, they aren't doing anything else. And so John Thune has done a great job of navigating that this time. We're moving nominees through pretty quickly. Trump has taken his time about naming judicial nominees this time, but that's going well. On the House side, we have the one big beautiful bill. And, you know, I think Mike Johnson wants to attach as many things to that as possible so that we can pass them through the Senate on a 51-vote majority. So there's a lot to work out there, and they've made some compromises I'm not in love with, like raising the state and local tax deduction, but, you know, had to be done. That's fine. The big, beautiful bill should get passed and should be law by July 4. It'll be a $4 trillion tax cut. It will be just a tremendous boon to American businesses and individuals, and the poorer you are, the better it is. No taxes on tips, no taxes on Social Security, no taxes on overtime. And honestly, it is just obscene that the Democrats ever thought of taxing those things in the first place, particularly Social Security benefits you already were taxed on. So they're getting a lot done in terms of big consequential stuff, but bad news, obviously, they're not getting a number of other things done they need to do. And the number of votes against making some of the DOGE cuts permanent in the Senate was just really kind of horrifying. And Thune's going to have to crack the whip on some of this. We have to make some of that happen.
Yeah, amen. So the big, beautiful bill, obviously the Democrats are against it. I mean, if Trump says air is good to breathe, they're against it, no matter what he does. So how do you see that passing?
Oh, it's going to pass, and it's going to pass because it can be done through reconciliation We're going to have the Republicans on board for that. I don't think that we're going to have a lot of problems there. The devil's going to be in the details. And so we're going to do some things like raise the SALT deduction, which I'm not a fan of. It's basically all of us subsidizing bad government in California and New York. But okay, if that's the price of a $4 trillion tax cut, and more importantly, if that's the cost of not raising taxes by $4 trillion, which is the minimum that the Democrats are proposing to do, then yeah, we can live with that. And we can live with a few other things. But you know, the biggest things are the big headline things, the things that really matter to regular Americans, like eliminating taxes on tips, on overtime, and on Social Security benefits. That's real relief for real people. And it may not be that big a deal in terms of the total federal budget, but it's a huge, huge deal for people who really need help. And I would add that we really had an amazing April. We had over $250 billion budget surplus in April. The DOGE cuts are working. The things the Trump administration are doing to reduce inflation and just stimulate economic activity are extraordinary. They're already having an effect. And we now have $8 trillion in commitments to new investments in American manufacturing. Once we get past some of the additional trade deals that they are in the process of negotiating right now, I think we're going to just see an incredible boom.
Rod, how do you think Pam Bondi has been doing in her role? You know, one of the things that people have said to me regarding DOGE and you know, the Elon Musk saying, well, we found this and that, you know, with waste and with fraud. Now, waste is one thing. That's not necessarily a crime. You're just doing a poor job. But fraud is a crime. And why do you think we haven't seen people get called on the carpet for that? Especially with Social Security receiving, somebody's getting that Social Security money from the 150-year-old people and the 120-year-old people and things like that. That seems easy to most people that you can tie that to who's getting that. They're stealing. Let's come up against them.
Well, you absolutely can, but you can't necessarily do it overnight. I mean, when you're talking about taking somebody into federal court and prosecuting them for a crime, it takes a little while to build that case. And, you know, occasionally you get, you know, I hate to use the term because it's theologically incorrect, but occasionally you get lucky, you know, and you have a judge in Milwaukee who just blatantly lies to federal agents to hide an illegal alien, and you catch her red-handed and you can indict her in a couple weeks' time. But that's not the norm, and that's not exactly what's happening here. The Social Security fraud in particular is really complex, and what makes it even more complex than it ought to be is the antiquated IT systems that the federal government has been operating with. There's just not a trail of a lot of things that are basic to your businesses. Mm-hmm. And so they're having to reconstruct this. They're going to have to build a very careful case. We'll see what comes of that. In many cases, it may not actually be fraud. It may just be waste. But in a lot of cases, it's absolutely fraud. And when you're talking about corruption at the highest levels in the Department of Justice and in the intelligence community, people who misused the powers of government to go after individuals, some of that's criminal, some of that's just political, and some of that is best addressed by firings and strippings of security clearances. Some of those people need to be in jail. And I think Pam Bondi is very methodical, and she will build the case she needs to so that when these people go to court, they actually get convicted.
Well, amen to that. Let's talk about drug prices. And Trump, you know, the big news was I heard him say that he had a friend of his that bought the Ozempic shot in America. It was $1,300, but he went to someplace, I think it was it in the UK? It was somewhere outside our country, and it was $83. And he wanted to know, he said to Trump, what's the deal here? And so Trump said, hey, Big Pharma, whatever you're charging in other countries, you have to charge that here. And you can't be, you know, soaking the Americans on a big price and giving everybody else a break. How feasible is that in terms of really playing out in practice?
Well, on that particular drug, That actually can be obtained much cheaper here in the United States if you have insurance. The companies will give you a discount card to take that $1,300 shot and obtain it for $25 for a month's supply if you have insurance. And if you can show that you have insurance, they'll give you the discount. It's not the insurance company paying for it. They're trying to get the insurance companies to pay for it by being able to show data that this many of your insureds want this drug, you need to cover this. Well, what that means is they're hosing people who don't have insurance. It's just ridiculous. It's perverse. And this is the problem. Donald Trump has recognized what a lot of our free trade friends, and I'm a free trader, don't misunderstand me, but a lot of them have just refused to understand the obvious. We are under a system of price controls on prescription drugs. We have been in this country by way of CMS, Medicare, and Medicaid since 1968. We are globally, because of the socialized medicine schemes in Canada and in Britain and in most of Europe and around the world. And so the pharmaceutical companies are using the fact that we have a partially free market in the United States to pass all their R&D costs and all their profit needs to the American consumer. We are 4% of global population, but we pay 75% of the drug makers' profits. 75%. So what Trump's trying to do, and I don't know if it'll work, but what he's trying to do is force these foreign countries to pick up a fairer share of the tab. And that's what the most favored nation provision is about. You know, if we're going to charge, you know, here what the cheapest country in the developed world charges, well, that incentivizes the drug manufacturers to say to that country, you got to raise your prices. At least, you know, maybe not to the end user, but what your government socialized medicine scheme is paying, you guys got to pay more because we can't take this hit in America. And if you won't pay more, we're going to stop selling drugs to your country. And so he is creatively harnessing the giant lobbying army of the pharmaceutical makers to try to get some fairness for the American consumer. Will it work? Don't know, but it's the most aggressive attempt we've ever seen.
Rod, let me ask you this. Because Trump doesn't get a fair shake in the legacy media, other than Fox News, who's very favorable toward Trump, if you were his advisor and you were looking at how he's done since January 20th, and how would you advise him moving forward? Because all the negative, it does have an effect. I mean, if you're just constantly bashing, people do, that's all they hear. And they don't hear about the good things that are going on because it's not reported. How would you advise him?
Well, of course, it is reported at rodmartin.org. So everybody needs to sign up for the Rod Martin Report. And of course, they need to listen to Jeff Shreve's show. That's where they can get the truth. But you know, the truth is, if we didn't have X, we would have already gone into the totalitarian night. X has become the number one news app in 140 countries, and it is just making a huge difference. You can get the truth if you want it. So there are people who clearly don't want it and aren't tuned in enough to think they need it, and they just hear what the media says. And so the media is successful with them. But the media is partisan. It is not at all objective. Everything you learned about journalistic integrity as a younger man is out the window, and they're very, very clear on that point. So yes, he's facing a lot of relentless negativity, but Mark Mitchell at Rasmussen can show you how most of the polls showing his negatives, you know, being at some terrible level, are fake. I mean, they're bad samples. It's bad sampling bias. It's just manipulated to make it look worse than it is. The truth is, I don't know how the Trump administration could have done any better. in the time that it's had. It's like nothing ever. It's a dynamo. It makes FDR look like a lazy guy. And, you know, I don't know how they keep up that pace, but they will. And that's the main thing. The president has to maintain this pace. He only has a short time in which to make these reforms stick. This is a counter-revolution against a coup d'etat, a stealth coup d'etat instituted by FDR to create one-party rule. So you have all these independent agencies with all this unconstitutional power to be able to basically have subject matter dictatorships over different areas of American life. You keep the forms of elections, you keep a Congress and a president and all this stuff, but if you ever elect a Republican president, the administrative state keeps acting like Democrats because it's entirely populated by Democrats, and Republican presidents haven't had any power to fire those people. Donald Trump has taken a meat axe to it because the one thing you can do is reductions in force. And another thing you can do is you can move agencies out of the beltway. And when you do that, they piloted this with a subsection of the Department of Agriculture back in the first term. And 95% of the staff of the agency quit. So Trump was able to hire all new people. And, you know, there are things you can do. And Trump is moving on them so aggressively that it's very, very hard for the Democrats to keep up. They can sue, but most of those lawsuits are going to fail. A lot of them already have. And ultimately, even John Roberts, as much as he hates Donald Trump, John Roberts is horrified by the abuse of nationwide injunctions. And I think the Supreme Court is going to take a pretty hard stand against nationwide injunctions shortly. If they don't, Congress can act. But I think we're going to see some real breakthroughs, and it all depends on Trump keeping the tempo he's been setting.
The tempo is just unbelievable. Well, we're talking to Rod Martin, and Rod is a thought leader, entrepreneur, tech genius, and futurist. He has the Rod Martin Report, and just a joy to get to talk to him. Rod, I hope you can stay on when we do our questions from the crowd. And so the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. And Rod will be here to answer your questions. And you can ask me, and I will defer to Rod. So don't go away. We'll be right back. If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life or the death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, the mother will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, talking to my friend Rod Martin, tech entrepreneur, futurist, thought leader, and founder and CEO of the Martin Organization and Martin Capital. Rod Martin served as senior advisor to Peter Thiel of PayPal. He's been called one of America's leading public intellectuals and a former policy advisor to Mike Huckabee. So that's taken us back, Rod, if we think about Mike Huckabee as governor. So you were a young buck back then, weren't you?
First job out of law school. And it was very, very cool. That was a moment in which the governor had unexpectedly become governor. He didn't mean to be governor, but he was the lieutenant governor, and our sitting governor, Jim Guy Tucker, went to the pen. And all of a sudden, you know, he's out of his Senate race and serving as governor of Arkansas with a hostile legislature. In 10 and a half years as governor, he never even had one third of either house of his state legislature. But in those early years, we passed the best school choice law in America, which was extraordinary because we had had the worst school choice law in America. A lot of really great pro-life stuff. One thing was the law that made it a murder if you kill an unborn child. Now, they couldn't extend that to the mother, obviously. Abortion was still legal. But if somebody else killed your child, they would go to the electric chair. And that law mattered within 2 weeks of taking effect. Two guys broke into this girl's house in Benton, and beat her up, killed her child, because one of them was the father and he didn't want to have to pay child support. Mm-hmm. And because of that law, we were able to send those guys to prison for life. And so, you know, those were great days. Mike Huckabee was a fantastic governor, and Sarah is now.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, Mike, I noticed, Rod, I noticed that you got Mike Huckabee on the brain. Mike was gracious enough to write the foreword for my new book, The Devil's Newsroom. And so he's been a good friend for a long time. You wrote, the next 18 months will define America's future. Can you give us a preview of what you see there?
Well, it comes back to what we were talking about in the last segment. You know, we have for 90 years had shadow one-party rule. And, you know, most people can't define that. In fact, I'm sure there are conservative leaders who would just laugh at the idea, but they're wrong. The truth is, when you create this vast, unaccountable, unfireable, empowered administrative state that actually makes all the rules we live under. Congress passes 10% of the rules we live under and leaves it to these administrative agencies to flesh them out. And those agencies have power to make law. They have power to enforce the law. They have the judges who will try you for any violations of their laws. And until the Supreme Court overturned Chevron last summer, you didn't even have a right to an appeal to a real federal court. That's just a dictatorship, and it's an unconstitutional fusion of the powers that are constitutionally separated into three branches. So what Trump is doing is taking a meat axe to that. What that did was it gave FDR the ability to fill all those agencies with Democrats. And they have continued to be filled with Democrats, basically no Republicans in that federal workforce, all these decades. If Trump can dismantle that deep state in a meaningful way, we can make elections really matter. You should be able to overthrow your government every 4 years at the ballot box. And when you elect a different kind of president with a different kind of agenda, he should be able to impose his agenda on the executive branch. And the executive branch should do what the voters voted for. That cuts both ways. That'll work, you know, if Biden wins, then Biden gets his way. And if Trump wins, Trump gets his way. That makes elections matter. And it's good for the Republic. If we achieve that, we're going to have a free country in the truest sense, again, as we did for 160 years up until the New Deal. And if we don't, we've seen what's going to happen. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden were very clear that they intended to censor everybody. They intend to punish thought crimes. Mm-hmm. They intend to make it impossible for anybody to oppose them. And they'll go through the motions of elections, but the elections won't matter. So we're right on the precipice. You know, one way is a golden age, as Trump keeps talking about. The other is a high-tech dark age that frankly looks an awful lot like Orwell's 1984. And so this next 18 months is absolutely vital.
Rod, why do you think for the average liberal, you can see what goes on in California. You can see how, I mean, San Francisco is such a cesspool, nobody ever wants to go there. Used to be a great city. People would vacation there. Debbie and I went there on our honeymoon because there was so much to do. I mean, it's just horrible now. So the proof is in the pudding. Why do you think people keep voting for politicians like Nancy Pelosi and Gavin Newsom and Kamala Harris that produce that kind of stuff? What are they just that brainwashed? Or, I mean, obviously the puppet masters, they want to destroy America. They want to have all the power and, seemingly want to destroy America. They don't want to make America great. They want to make America dependent, everybody dependent. You own nothing and you're happy. What do you think goes on in the minds of a liberal that they can't defend themselves? I mean, we've seen Charlie Kirk on college campuses. He tries to have a, defend your position. They can't do it. Everything is about feelings. It's about subjective truth. If you get yourself in the mind of a liberal, where do they go? I mean, how does that work in their minds?
Well, I think you got to the crux of it right there. We have deliberately, in our educational establishment, eliminated critical thinking in favor of critical theory. And those may sound similar, but they're 180-degree polar opposites. In one, you use reason and logic to find what is true. In critical theory, there can be no truth. It's this postmodernist mishmash of your truth. And you individually get to define it based on how you feel. Of course, that doesn't really work in practice because you get made to feel a certain way through peer pressure. And so everybody takes their talking points from the party. And it may not be literally the apparatus of the Democrat Party, but it is an elite that shapes opinion. And people move from issue to issue extremely rapidly now. And you see it. And it's all based on emotion. Very little of it is based on fact. And when you actually get into some of the facts, they just call you a racist or a misogynist or whatever. Right. You know, there's no attempt to actually argue the point. So you're a fascist. Well, okay, I'm trying to reduce the power of government. I don't think that's very fascist, but okay. You know, and this is what we're dealing with. So the crux of the matter is the church. The church must speak to the immutability of truth and God's sovereignty over the truth. God mm-hmm. defines what is true. We don't get to, and we don't get to redefine it. Oh, I feel like a woman today. I'll lop off my privates and become a woman. No, you won't. You're still a guy. You're just a guy who had a surgery. You know, God has defined everything. So the church has to speak to that. It's very encouraging to see so many Gen Z men coming to faith. The gap, the gender gap there is breathtakingly awful. But still, it's good to see the men coming back. The women will follow, I think. So I'm very hopeful. And by the way, just very briefly on that note, here in a month, we're going to have the Southern Baptist Convention in Dallas. And I know not all of your listeners are Southern Baptists, but if you are a Southern Baptist, you need to go. It matters. This is the 100th year of the cooperative program. So we're celebrating a big anniversary. Through that, we fund global missions. We fund all of our 6 seminaries. We're only 5% of the church population of the United States as Southern Baptists, but we educate 1/3 of all of the seminary students. So the votes at the Southern Baptist Convention really matter. It's coming up in a month. Mm-hmm. If you haven't made plans to attend, this would be the time to do it.
Yeah, amen. I'll be there. Well, we're going to the phone lines, and we have Greg on the line from Kentucky. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Shreve. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show, and I really appreciate when you have Rod on the show with you. My question for Rod is, I haven't heard much lately about the status of trade deals with either India or the European nations. Can you give an update on that? And once those are resolved, assuming we come to terms, I believe we will, what do you foresee the impact on the markets will be?
I think it's going to be really, really positive. And of course, J.D. Vance was just in India. They agreed to a framework for the rest of the trade talks. I think we'll get to that deal pretty quickly. We're going to see something, I think, very solid with Vietnam. Vietnam is a key component of the whole strategy. You know, no matter what you may hear from Scott Bessent about, oh, we don't really want to decouple from China. That's the happy talk you've got to say. We are decoupling from China. And it's not that we're not going to have a lot of trade with China, because I think we will. But you're already seeing manufacturing leave China. Apple is going to manufacture all of its iPhones for the U.S. market, either here or in India. You know, they're pulling out. A lot of things are reshoring to Vietnam and to Mexico. So I think you'll see those deals come about pretty quickly. I think one of the deals you're going to see pretty quickly is with Canada. We'll sort some things out with them. And it's just going to create a boom. You know, once the market absorbs that, wait, Trump's strategy worked. You know, and they won't give him credit for it working, right. But, you know, he just serendipitously, you know, stumbled into success. Yeah, well, whatever. But, there, you know, the market's going to soar. We're going to see 50,000 on the Dow, not this year, but this term.
Yeah. Greg, anything else on that?
Yeah, one other question. Do you foresee, I mean, I'm hearing that inflation is easing. Do you anticipate the Fed lowering interest rates their next meeting?
The Fed seems to be really political here. They did everything they could to help Joe Biden. And then, you know, the minute Trump's in, they're taking this hard line on interest rates. Well, I'm sorry, inflation is down. Inflation hit 2.3. This is almost first term numbers. And it's really quite extraordinary. There's no justification for interest rates being where they are, which suggests to me a political motivation. But eventually, I do think rates have to come down, and I think we'll get there. Maybe not at this next Fed meeting, but pretty soon.
All right, Greg. Anything else?
No, thank you, guys. Appreciate you. God bless.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. Rod, we just have a couple minutes left. Let me ask you, where do you think we are in terms of our seminaries in the Southern Baptist world? Do you think they've moved any more to being a little more solid and conservative?
I do. I think Midwestern is pretty solid. I think Southern has gotten over some of its flirtation with critical theory, not as much as I would like, but I think it has. Certainly, Al Mohler has moved in the right direction on a number of things. I think Southwestern is coming back from a near-death experience under Adam Greenway. I think Southeastern is a train wreck, and I don't know what you do. Maybe you just start over. So there are some real issues there. And I think Adam Groza out at Gateway is just phenomenal. And he worked with us in the Conservative Baptist Network stuff when we were organizing for Anaheim. So, you know, I think that's very encouraging out there. And I think in general, a lot of things are moving in the right direction, but I don't think that that's a thoroughgoing thing. I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done. I think the transparency issues are real problems. And I think the fact that the trustees kind of see themselves as fanboys of their entity heads is still a huge problem. And you've got to address trustee training and trustee accountability in a way that we haven't been willing to do. So here we are at the 100th anniversary of the cooperative program. I want to see that get to 200 and 300 and 500 if the Lord tarries. And to get there, we're going to have to do some real serious reform in the SBC. That's going to involve better presidents being elected at the annual meetings.
Well, Rod Martin has been my guest. Rod, real quickly, tell our listeners how they can connect with you.
Well, they need to come to rodmartin.org. That's rodmartin.org. We have about 1 million views a month now at rodmartin.org, and we have 50 million views a month on my X, which is at Rod D. Martin. But you can link to that just by coming to rodmartin.org. There's a link to my X up in the top left-hand corner. Just click there and follow me and subscribe to the Rod Martin Report.
Well, thanks.
And
thank
you won't be disappointed.
Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. We'll be back again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.